You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today's edition is the Tuesday edition, and it will be a short one. I've been a little bit under the weather, have very little sleep last night for a number of reasons, and now I decided I'll cut the show short tonight. I have to leave at 6 on the dot, so I will be cutting it short, and I'll probably continue this show tomorrow with some more material. There are a number of stories, more or less opinions, people on the radio, articles, and it's somewhat sad because some of these people are people I respect. Won't mention any names. But they're I think, somewhat hysterical, as well as not being very historical, because they're comparing Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. Now, I always get a chuckle when people do that. When it's any person, they bring up Hitler, because most of the time, the person saying that has very, very little knowledge about what National Socialism was about, what Hitler's problems were, and they were deep-seated problems. And a book I've been reading that I strongly recommend you read is Hitler, the Pathology of Evil. I'm not going to get into that, but I give you that. There are a lot of works. There are literally dozens of works about various aspects of both Hitler, the regime, people that supported him, why they supported him. And just for example, and why I don't think we're not even close. When Hitler was coming to power and finally got power, he disbanded all political parties and put socialists, communists, Catholics in concentration camps. Many, not most, but many, many, many died there, were tortured, beaten, and died. He did not want dissent. He did not want to be challenged. He was a very insecure person. He even killed people that were his close supporters. And he had an obsession with Jews and killing them. Comparing that individual with Donald Trump shows more of the ignorance of the person making that comparison. Just because someone is popular with the American people does not make, and that really is the test, the fact that Donald Trump is popular and Hitler was popular, then Donald Trump is Hitler. Well, that does not logically follow. Sorry, folks. But that is the level of discourse. And they compare, for example, Donald Trump's events, campaign events, their rallies, where he gives a stump speech and his supporters come. Now, if you're not a supporter of Trump, I really don't expect you to be there. I'm not a supporter, and I don't go to rallies. Even if there's someone I would vote for, that's just not my cup of tea. But there's been a lot of that going on. I remember, I think a week ago, I was listening to Glenn Beck, and I think he's gone off the deep end on this. He was at the Iowa caucuses, and Donald Trump walked in, and he described it. But then he described a group of Trump supporters and compared them with the stormtroopers, the brown shirts of Trump, that these people were nuts. You're always going to get at any rally for anyone some people that are, let us say, extreme. But to call all of Donald Trump's supporters at a caucus, or even most of them, as fanatics and liking him to the German, the SA, the brown shirts, I think is ridiculous. I don't think they were wearing brown shirts. I don't think they were. Most of them were wearing suits and a tie. They're just American citizens exercising their rights. And we have people that like to pretend they're principled and get offended when people disagree with them. And I think Glenn Beck is better than that. You see, I share Glenn Beck's support for Ted Cruz, but I really take it a step further. I don't think it makes much difference whether it's Ted Cruz gets elected president or Donald Trump. Now, a lot of people will immediately start to argue with me. But how many votes does Ted Cruz have in Congress that support him? He has some, but nowhere near the majority. The bureaucracy is certainly not on his side. And the same is for Donald Trump. And the truly wealthy that really fund both parties, many give to both parties, but the so-called donor class, it's very much a rigged game where you have two choices, Democrat or Republican. Now, you are having a bitter, I won't say civil war, that it's not a civil war, but it's cliques within the club that don't want to see either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz nominated by the Republican Party. They want their candidate, and they're going nuts, and they're panicking, and they're cracking up. And one indication of that crack up is comparing Donald Trump to Hitler, trying to scare people. It's not scaring me. I think they're fools. Because why do I say that? Every time they do this, whether it's in print, in a newspaper, magazine, Fox News, or any of the networks, it usually results in Donald Trump's poll numbers and election results in primaries and caucuses going up. And I'm sure Donald Trump is laughing at him. I'm laughing at him. I mean, I said rather early when Donald Trump got into this, if you really want to really defeat Donald Trump, ignore him. In other words, don't cover him at all. Neither the television networks nor the newspapers can do that. They're in it for the money, and that means they're in it for the ratings. And Donald Trump is a master manipulator of the media. Now, the media wants to control the candidates. He is reversing that role as controlling the media. And they don't like it. And they've been gunning for him, trying to really ruin his candidacy. And this has been going on since the middle of June, June 6th. He started his campaign and announced on June 16th, 2015, 2 days after his birthday, by the way, 69th birthday. And everyone, or literally nearly everyone, thought he didn't have a prayer, didn't have a chance. They first started to laugh at him, calling him names, marginalizing him. And Trump knew that they needed a good story. And he became the story, if not every day, most days of the week. You literally cannot listen to talk radio and not hear the word Trump. Trump, 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 Trump. For better or worse, he's captured the imagination of the American people. Now, many of them will vote for him and are supporters. Many aren't. If you follow the show, you know that I started out with four people I could vote for, and that list did change over time as people decided not to run or decided to suspend their campaign, in other words, stop running. And neither Donald Trump nor Ted Cruz was my first choice. My first choice was Rand Paul, but even Rand Paul was not the perfect candidate for me. None of them were, because they were all Republicans. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a Democrat. They were all Republicans. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, you live in a two-party tyranny where your choices are limited in the political arena. That's not the case, if you think about it, in the marketplace. In the marketplace, you have a lot of choices. You truly do have competition, whether it's food, clothing, cars, appliances, computers, games, entertainment, movies. You pick it, you have competition at work. And those that deliver the goods for the mass market to the consumers, where you have consumer sovereignty, they succeed, and they succeed wildly. Not those that have a narrow focus. You're always going to have businesses that cater to the very rich, and they're needs, whether it's houses, yachts, jet planes, clothing, jewelry. There will always be businesses that specialize in that niche and are successful in that niche. But the most successful companies, by far, are those that cater to the masses, and I mean consumers. Think about it for a minute. The iPhone immediately comes to mind. Now, I don't have an iPhone, but when Steve Jobs and Apple decided to go after that market, Apple wasn't the leader at all. And that's the beauty of the free market capitalist system. It rewards success where those that are most successful sell their products to millions, if not billions, of customers. Donald Trump understands that, and I think Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee and will get elected. Now, that's a long-range prediction. I don't really make predictions or forecasts or projections. But if you ask me today, who do I think will be the next president? It will be Donald Trump. And I'm laughing. I know the shortcomings of Donald Trump, but he'll do to the Republican Party what Barack Obama did to the Democratic Party. And what is that? People left the Democratic Party. That's the secret that neither party wants to let you in on, that the American people are walking out of both parties. Now, this has been going on for decades. It has nothing to do with who's running for president. What it has to do with is the American people slowly but surely are tired of the direction this country is going in. It's going in the wrong direction. Government is getting bigger and bigger, and as a result, economic growth is slowing down, down, and down, and they don't know what to do about it. They don't know what to do about it because what they're doing in economic policy, whether it's fiscal policy, in other words, tax and spend, their budgets and their tax policies, or monetary policy, it's both geared towards growing and expanding the role of government. That is what the two-party system has become. It has become a burden to the American people. They are taking this nation down the road to serfdom. The problem is you have a lot of people, for example, on talk radio, but many write books or on television. Usually when they were young, in their 20s or 30s, they spent some time in an administration, whether it was a Democratic administration or Republican administration. So their loyalty is to that party, whether it's the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. They are the exception. Most Americans are not party members. They will register so they can vote, but they're not members of the Democratic or Republican Party. And more of them, even if they in the past have voted Democrat or Republican, have given up on both parties. Now, we've had more than 7 years of Barack Obama. When he started, Gallup does a poll, and in March of 2009, or in other words, early on in the Barack Obama administration, 38% were Democrats. They asked people, what is your party affiliation? That's the question. And 38% were Democrats. A couple of months ago, it got down to 29%. Now, what you need to quickly understand, that number bounces around. And when you're in election year, it tends to go up for both the Democrat and Republican Party. And that's exactly what's happened. But if it, where you don't have elections, you get a more normal reading and you get the lower number. Now, that also happened to the Republican Party earlier when people were not happy with the second administration of George Bush. That's when I left the Republican Party, because I'm for limited government. I consider myself a classical liberal, but I'll answer to being a conservative. I've been in the traditional wing of the conservative party. But whether you're a fiscal conservative or business conservative, social conservative, there are different groups, if you will. One of the key principles is fiscal responsibility. And neither party has been fiscally responsible. In other words, they've spent way beyond the means of the American people. And as a result, they've done a couple of things. The biggest is out-of-control government spending, bailing out of companies that it's not the role of government to bail out any company when they fail, period. Because that encouraged what's called moral hazard. In other words, then, the people running the company take the risk. And when they're right, they win and get bonuses. And when they're wrong, they go hat in hand, to their political cronies, the politicians that they've paid off, and asked to be bailed out. They shouldn't have been bailed out. That's what a capitalist system, how it works. In other words, you should go into bankruptcy, and then you may come out of bankruptcy, or you may be bought. It happens every single day of the week. There's no such thing in my book that you're too big to fail. But because we have two parties that are big government parties, where the politicians rely upon the contributions of their donors, that didn't happen. We had bailouts, and then we'll have them again. It's just a matter of time when we have the next major recession or depression, and I think we're overdue. So I give you that as more of an introduction. Is I don't have a political party to vote for, and we're not going to see a third party until really many of those young people that are now in their 60s or 70s, some even in the 80s, die off. You see, those people cannot walk away from the party. They have too much loyalty, allegiance to whatever party they served in or administration they served in. I understand that. To some extent, that's commendable. But it's very hard for them to be objective about what's going on. And it takes a while for them to understand what's going on. And even when they understand it, they still want to reform the party. And they make what I think is a mistake, thinking that one person running for president is going to make it all better. And that person, whether it's Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Marco Rubio, whoever is your favorite candidate. And I frankly don't care who you vote for, because it's going to be a Democrat or a Republican that wins it. And that fundamentally is the problem. Until you have a party that truly believes in limited government, which means downsizing the government, closing not one or two departments, 8 or 10 departments, drastically cutting the budgets of other departments that remain. Are you hearing any of that out of Washington? You never will hear it. Washington is the new Rome, and it's a cancer. And it needs and demands to be fed, which means more and more taxes and more debt. So I give you that as background so you understand where I'm coming from. Now, people are comparing Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler. I don't think so, folks. You can draw your own conclusions. That is, when I hear that kind of talk, I know whether it's to the left, center, or right, they're in panic mode. They're getting desperate. There are many things that you can criticize Donald Trump for, but I don't think he's a Hitler in the making at all. Very much probably authoritarian, but I believe there's enough checks, one being the Democratic Party, the other being the Republican Party, that Donald Trump is going to quickly find out, should he get elected president. I think we'll know in less than 2 weeks what his chances are. I think he's going to reach the magic number of 1,237. He could fall short, but if he does, I think he'll cut a deal with Ted Cruz, and I think that deal will be, if Ted Cruz accepts it, is Ted Cruz would be his vice president. Now, it could go the other way, that Ted Cruz gets the magic number, but I don't think Donald Trump wants to be vice president to anyone. Now, one of the most recent things, that this is how nutty this is, Donald Trump, at a couple of his events, and this was somewhat jokingly, but in other words, tongue-in-cheek, wanted people to take a pledge. Raise your right hand and take the pledge. And in essence, what the pledge was, you're going to vote, I swear to vote for Donald Trump on election day, whatever day that is. That's the way to get committed, people getting committed to turn out. And remember, Donald Trump is drawing thousands of people to these, I call them campaign events or rallies. And not all the people there are true believers, but they have finally decided, made up their mind that Donald Trump is their candidate, and they're very difficult to persuade that they should vote for someone else. So this is a way for Donald Trump to get some commitment as well as to get the vote out, is his voter turnout method. I think it's effective. But his critics, and there are many, many critics, have compared this with the oath that Hitler required the army, the armed forces of the German army, to take. See, under the United States Constitution, when you join the military, you take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. You don't take an oath of allegiance to whoever the president is. And what was unique about this is this was unprecedented in terms of this oath in Germany. And there was a movie called Springtime for Hitler. Well, that was the play. It was called The Producers. They put on this play, and they called it the Siegfried Oath. And I have a clip, and I need to mention this. I'm looking at the time. I'm fast running out of time, so this will be a part two program tomorrow, because I still have clips from yesterday that I haven't played. But if you're new to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K, P-O-P-S dot wordpress.com. And I have clips, footage, documentary of, for example, German soldiers taking the oath of loyalty, as well as a clip. And let me play the clip of what's getting the attention. This is Donald Trump.
Now, the new group is trying to stop Trump. And that's going to make a lot of people happy. And they actually mentioned in some of the papers that if that happened, where we're doing so well, that'd almost be a revolution. It would be. I mean, because the last thing that you people are going to take is having a lightweight like a Marco Rubio, who's terrible, having a guy like this, or Lion Ted Cruz, or some politician in charge of this. We can't have it anymore. We can't have it anymore. I really mean, they're talking about serious, serious, serious problems. But here's the story. So now what they're doing is they're saying, you know what, we may not be able to stop Trump. By the way, speaking of Trump, and speaking of stopping and helping, you've got to get out to vote, folks. You've got to. Now, remember this. It's Tuesday the 15th. Tuesday. So it's not this Tuesday, it's the following Tuesday. It's Tuesday the 15th. You know what I would do? Just in case you get sick, you don't feel good. And even if you get sick and you can't walk, you got to get up. Have somebody lift you up. I'll even call you. I'll pay for it. I'll get an ambulance. But listen. Here's what you have to do. You have to get it. So it's not this Tuesday, it's the following Tuesday. If we win Florida, it's over. If we win... If we win Florida and Ohio, it's really over, okay? And I think we have a good chance. Now, look, in Florida, you can early vote. You can get, right? You can go out and you can vote early. So go and do it. Go vote. You got it. Okay, wait. Let's do a pledge. Everybody here, who likes me in this room? Okay. I've never done this before. Can I have a pledge, a swearing? Raise your right hand. I do solemnly swear that I, no matter how I feel, no matter what the conditions, if there's hurricanes or whatever... That's good enough. We'll vote on or before the 12th for Donald J. Trump for president. Thank you. Now I know.
I'll cut it off there. Some people have said these people were giving the Nazi salute. Well, no, they weren't. They were raising their hands, right hand, like they were taking an oath. But that's the extent that they will go. Now, I want to play. Now, this is going to be a little difficult because I know it's you don't have the and I'm debating whether I should even play it. This is the oath that the German army had to take. It's in German. But if you go to my website, pronkpops.wordpress.com, and under my photo, you'll have the links to the most 60 to 80, most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. But under that, you'll have some of my show prep. I have a lot of YouTube videos, a few articles, cartoons, photos. But here's the oath that literally every soldier, sailor, pilot, Air Force pilot in the German armed forces had a pledge. I swear by God. this holy oath to the Führer of the German Reich and people. Adolf Hitler. That is what they're saying Donald Trump is doing. No, he's not. He's trying to get people to turn out and vote, and this event was in Florida next Tuesday. But that's what the media has come to. They're in panic mode, so they'll try to mislead you, scare you. It's called FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's backfiring. I heard this and got rather upset about it. And we also have people from talk radio, such as Glenn Beck, that I referred to earlier. He was on this week with ABC, but you'd get a better impression if you listen to his show. And he's in the tank for Ted Cruz. Fine. I think it's a mistake. I think if you're on talk radio, I just don't think it's a good idea to endorse anybody. Now, you can, and I've done this, is say, okay, here are a few people that I could vote for, and make up your mind. And that's what most of them do. Some, like Glenn Beck, are for Ted Cruz. Others, such as Michael Savage, are for Donald Trump. Others, if you listen to them regularly, you know who they're for. If they're conservatives, while they don't endorse anybody, I'm fairly certain that Rush Limbaugh is for Ted Cruz. He likes Marco Rubio, but I still think he's for Ted Cruz. And Mark Levin is also for Ted Cruz. At one time, they were both big supporters of Marco Rubio. But because what Marco Rubio did in Florida with the Gang of Eight, which in essence provided amnesty for the illegal aliens that were here. Now, they know that you can't call it that, so they call it a pathway to citizenship or legalization. But in essence, that's what it is. And that's why Marco Rubio today doesn't look like he's going to win in Florida. He has to win. To have any credibility, he has to win next Tuesday in Florida. Now, today, the people of Michigan, Mississippi, Idaho, and Hawaii, in terms of the Republicans, are going into the primary or caucuses, and I think they're about 150 delegates up. So it's an important election. And I think this could bring both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz over the 400 mark in terms of delegates. John Kasich probably will get a few in Michigan. But here's the key. In all of these states, you have to get a minimum percentage of the votes. Typically, it's either 15% or 20%. And if you don't meet that threshold, you don't get any delegates. That's what really hurt Marco Rubio. So this Tuesday is important, and we'll see if Donald Trump regains his momentum. Remember, Cruz picked up momentum and picked up and closed, got closer to Trump. He's still a distant second. But after tonight, we'll know, does that momentum continue for Ted Cruz? In other words, does Ted Cruz delegate count surpass Donald Trump? I don't think it will, but I think it could get a lot closer. Or does Donald Trump get momentum back and pulls away from Ted Cruz? Well, we'll find out in probably about 4 to 6 hours, and I'll report it on my show. Now, the time is up. I got to wrap up the show. I'll have a part two of this show tomorrow, because what I want to play and don't have time is first of all, Ted Cruz attack ads on Donald Trump. And it takes about 8 or 9 minutes, but there are 10 ads. Now, I'm playing this for a reason. These ads are running in the states right now. Texas is over with, so you're not going to see them on television in Texas. But if you're in Florida, Michigan, Mississippi, Idaho, Hawaii, Ohio, Illinois, they're running. In Florida, they're running. And that's where a lot of this money goes to. It's attack ads. The real question is, there's a debate this Thursday in Miami, is whether or not Trump will come prepared this time. I hope he has learned his lesson. He can't have a repeat of what happened in the last debate. So he has to come back. I think he will. But that's still an intangible, because I think Donald Trump believes that he's going to win and wrap it up quickly. And Marco Rubio is fading. And John Kasich, He might win Ohio. He should win. He has to win Ohio and might pick up delegates in Michigan. But John Kasich is way, way behind. There are only really two people in the Republican Party today that can get to the magic number of 1,237. That is Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. The field is narrowed. Donald Trump would not like that to happen, even though he said it, not really. He would love to, his strategy is divide and conquer. He would love three or four people to remain in the race, but especially after next Tuesday, most of your candidates will drop out when they see it's mathematically impossible for them to catch up. In other words, there's not a pathway forward. There's not a pathway to victory. So I'll play those clips and add my commentary to it. But again, if you want to listen to the show, go to prompopops.wordpress.com. And this show number, by the way, is 638. So 638 and tomorrow's show 639. And by then I'll have the results. So enjoy the cartoons, the photographs, and if you have time, listen to some of those attack ads. But I will play them on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening, and now America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.